Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, roughly 48 hours since the unveiling of the latest budget for Singapore, that 6.4 billion Singapore dollar stimulus, and combined stimulus at least, to support industries and consumers who are affected by the COVID-19 outbreak, is still making the rounds. And some economists today have also raised questions as to whether or not we're going to see when we're going to see the actual impact of these particular stimulus measures, and if it will actually make a difference in helping some of these affected industries actually prevail. However, it is a big budget also that could see Singapore record its biggest budget deficit since 1997. There's a lot to unpack here, and we continue to ask some other economists what they make of the recent outlay by the Singapore government. Today, we're joined by Vishnu Varathan, once again, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank, who's going to give us his thoughts on what he saw. Vishnu, good afternoon, and welcome to the show again.
Hi, thanks for having me, John.
So, Vishnu, let's talk about your impressions of the budget. Can you give us your impressions of that, and which seems to have devoted a rather good chunk towards addressing the COVID-19 outbreak? How well do you think they did in balancing these short-term responses while also looking at some of the longer-term themes driving the Singapore economy?
Well, I think to start off with, the budget has been extremely nimble. We already saw some of the measures being announced, relief measures for COVID being announced even before the budget. So it's been very nimble in terms of responding, but yet not obsessed to the point where it became myopic. A lot of the long-term structural initiatives, particularly boosting longer-term growth via productivity upgrades, as well as even addressing things like inequality and fiscal sustainability, all these were very well encompassed. So I'd say it's a budget that has been very adaptable, but yet unwavering on the structural requirements.
Vishnu, there were five particular sectors that they're looking to help prop up specifically and try to protect from this: food and retail. We have tourism. We have airlines and the aviation sector, just to name a number of them. P2P, transport P2P as well, was among them. Do you think they perhaps missed anything? One sector, for instance, that comes to mind is manufacturing, which is about 20% of the country's GDP and also has a lot of supply chains that extend into mainland China also. Do you think they might have missed the boat on this one, or are we perhaps worrying a little bit too much about the manufacturing sector here?
No, I mean, you make a good point, John. I mean, after all, one of the worries about the COVID impact is the supply chain seizures that could result from the slowdown in activity, or in fact the drop in activity in China. But I think the approach of the budget has been to ensure that the so-called frontline sectors, first hit by the drop in passenger traffic, so on and so forth, and in terms of reacting to the budget virus, they want to ensure that the frontline industries are first safeguarded. And I think within the budget, if you look at it, there are sufficient measures in terms of income tax rebates, as well as wage subsidies, so on and so forth, to ensure that the economy will be able to tide over this very tough and trying period, which is further clouded by opacity over how long it'll last.
All right. We'll still speak to Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy over at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, we've heard from the fiscal side of the government also, and now all perhaps some more focus is going to slowly shift towards the MAS's upcoming first semi-annual meeting in April. Do you think that they might match this with their own set of monetary stimulus measures? And what do you think they might do, actually? Because it seems like this the COVID-19 outbreak might require all hands on deck from both the fiscal and the monetary side, right?
Yeah, you're definitely right. I mean, on that account, certainly coordinated policy accommodation or policy stimulus makes a lot of sense. We've seen this before in SARS. It makes sense to do that now, particularly when we're coming off a fairly weak patch and going into this kind of disruption. But I think nothing is cast in stone yet. So the two things we want to watch out for are whatever easing that has already come through, not just on the fiscal side, but by virtue of the trade rate of Singapore dollar dropping dramatically within its current policy bands, then in itself entails de facto easing. So I think the MAS will be watching the fluidity of the situation to see what else needs to be done. And we also bear in mind that at the end of the day, monetary policy is going to be addressing the economy anywhere between 6 to 18 months down the road. So by April, maybe the risk assessment might be very different. But the cards are stacked in favor of more easing, not less.
All right. And then I'm glad you brought that up, actually, Vishnu, because over the course of today's session, we actually saw the Singapore dollar hit 1.40 against the U.S. dollar. And I think they're only trailing the Thai baht as the worst performing currency in the ASEAN space year to date. Previously, when we spoke on Forex Fridays a few weeks ago, you actually had a lot to say about the Singapore dollar and perhaps some weakness moving forward. Now we are expecting fiscal stimulus. We're also expecting possibly some action from the MAS. Can you tell us whether or not you're holding on to this, or whether you think that is the downside perhaps for the Singapore dollar, perhaps, or worries of a further decline in the local currency? Do you think they might be a little bit exaggerated at the moment?
I think I'll concede both, like the kind of offensive economist who sits on the fence. And here's why. on the Sing dollar weakness, it is going to be driven by and large by whatever we see happening with the broad dollar trend. So insofar that we've seen a very strong dollar trend, not just across Asian currency, but quite globally across euro, yen, so on and so forth. That means that the dollar could turn out to be a lot stronger. And so it makes complete sense for the Singapore dollar against the US dollar to continue falling, so beyond 140. It could happen if the dollar is very strong. The other currency, of course, in this mix is the renminbi. So insofar that the renminbi continues to weaken and that setting of renminbi above 7, which is a weak point, I think also triggered some of the wobbles that we saw in the Sing dollar. That said, on a trade-weighted basis, the Singapore dollar has already dropped dramatically. And even if the MAS were to, say, flatten the Sing near slope, so if they don't do a step depreciation, they just flatten the slope, the point is that the floor is not lowered anymore, which is to say that the Sing dollar's drop within the bands remains limited unless the positioning of the bands is shifted. So on a relative basis, on a trade-weighted basis, we're not betting on too much more Sing dollar underperformance. In fact, we are trying to lean against that. But on a broad-based basis, on a bilateral basis against the US dollar, we remain cautious of more weakness simply by virtue of the safe havens seeking US dollar refuge.
So there might be a line in the sand then, or a limit perhaps to more to the downside for the Sing dollar. Where do you think it might actually be? Where do you think the weakness might actually end? I mean, how weak do you think can it get?
I think in terms of line in the sand, we will not call for one against the US dollar. We will call for one on a trade-weighted basis. So on a trade-weighted basis, given that the Singapore dollar is now anywhere between 50 to 80 basis points below the midpoint, in theory, another 1% drop would be deemed to be very excessive. It's pushing the limits. So on a trade-weighted basis, we think the line in the sand is anything in excess of another 0.7 to 1% drop. But on against the US dollar, it really depends. I mean, if you see the renminbi dropping by another 3%, it's very easy for the Sing dollar to follow suit. So we're really watching external factors and how the global financial markets shape up. And I don't think there is a line in the sand. That's not the MAS's policy. Their policy is on a trade-weighted basis.
And finally, Vishnu, we have heard from some of your other peers and fellow economists who have raised a few valid questions about whether or not some of these very hefty and massive and big stimulus efforts in the budget, it's about 6.4 billion Singapore dollars, just to try and help support those on the front lines and also support and fund some of these big care and support packages and small business packages also. There have been some questions as to whether or not they've done enough or whether it's going to be enough to try and avoid a possible recession and some of the downturns. We've heard from some of them, but I do want to give you a chance to share your two cents. Do you think that that everything has been enough has been done, or whether more could have been done actually in the budget to help support and perhaps avoid a potential recession here?
Well, I want to start off by saying that the budget has done a lot of things, and many of it preemptively. So I think substantial measures have been undertaken. Can more be undertaken? Of course. But there's always a cost-benefit trade-off here. And I want to draw the parallel of a patient infected with COVID. At the end of the day, the budget and any other measures that we take would be exactly what the medical profession is undertaking. It's a symptomatic relief. And it's the kind of symptomatic relief, if provided fast enough and onerously enough, it then delivers a nicer recovery, one that doesn't entail the patient going into ICU. But at this juncture, can we call whether Singapore's economy will go into ICU, that's to say a recession? We have not, I think we have not, we don't have the confidence and the visibility to confidently declare that Singapore will not go into a recession. But the measures undertaken means that it is well positioned for a better recovery as we get past the virus impact.
And we hope to, high heavens, that perhaps the economic ICO is far away and far away for the Singapore economy at least. Vishnu Varasan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.